It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at mybradio.com, mybradio.com, and of course on the 77 WABC app. Yes, we thank you, the great listener and the listenership of this program. The Nielsen ratings, and of course Nielsen is the global measurement and data analytics company, has us in the top 10 in New York AM radio, month in and month out for many years now. We recently came in number 3 on a Sunday night. That's pretty cool. And we appreciate your expectation that we will deliver great business content week in and week out. And we cover such a wide range of subjects throughout our programs: social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, strategic planning, entrepreneurship, financial planning, marketing and advertising, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you're guaranteed to walk away with great business advice by tuning into this program. Well, as we do each week, we do open with the thank yous, and we want to thank the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays such an important support role for this program. Srili, Michal, Malka, Avigail, Osher, Miriam, thank you. And to the great folks at 77 WABC, they make it all happen. Glenn, James, Matt, Leslie, Chris, Tim, thank you. And of course, we're on many, many channels. We're on Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Player.fm, C-Suite Radio. In fact, there are some weeks we have over 1,000 downloads. So it's a special shout out to all you that are tuned in by the podcast, which goes up usually by Tuesday morning following the show. And of course, that's where you can access, by the way, the easiest way to access every past guest is by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. That is the platform that hosts all past guests. My interview with Beth Comstock, the former vice chair and CMO at GE, John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, and so many other great guests. What about my interview with Joe Hart, the president and CEO of Dale Carnegie? Dale Carnegie services 400 out of the Fortune 500 companies. Pretty cool. Every single past episode is available by going to mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Without further ado, going to tonight's incredible guest, Dr. Richard Roberts. Medical doctor, doctor of biophysics, and a former pharmaceutical industry CEO, URL Pharma, for nearly a quarter century, I mean 24 years. We're going to cover a wide range of business topics: corporate management, sales and marketing, seizing opportunities, and other vital business topics. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome, Dr. Rich Roberts. Thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thank you for having me, Yitzhak. How can I be of service?
Thank you. So I'm going to open like this, Dr. Roberts, and that is, and I especially enjoy asking this question to any person of similar stature to yourself. What's the backstory? You know, this, you know, your journey didn't happen overnight. What's your backstory?
Do you mean from my entire business career?
Yeah, you know, like how you came to become the CEO of a pharmaceutical giant.
Okay. Wow. So it is I'm going to take a long, long story and try to make it very short. I was born to be president of a pharmaceutical company. As obnoxious as that might sound, it's actually true. It's not politically correct these days to say this, but my father had owned 50% in a small generic pharmaceutical company, and he wanted a boy who would take over the company someday. So after three girls, he and my mother decided
to keep trying to have babies because he wanted a boy to take over.
So when I was born, I was actually conceived to be president of this company. When children
are 5 years old, Tommy, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a fireman. Johnny, I want to be a policeman. Richie, I want to be president of United Research Laboratories Incorporated. But the trouble is, things went wrong along the way, so to say. And that is, I developed a strong interest in science, and in general in medicine and physics in particular. So when I went to Penn, University of Pennsylvania, where I was at for 12 years, as an undergrad, I did majors in biophysics and natural science, and minors in mathematics and philosophy. After my third year of college, I started in the doctorate program, PhD program in biophysics. And a year after that, I started medical school at Penn. And I ended up graduating from Penn with a medical degree and a doctorate in biophysics. Now, I actually did not want to go to medical school. I wanted to be a physicist. But my father spoke to me in terms that I wouldn't want to put on your program. And he said, you know, with your brains, you need to be able to earn a living. Because, again, I just want to be a mathematician or a physicist. And so my father, who had grown up in the Depression in Pittsburgh, he grew up in real poverty. They didn't know if they had to skip meals at times. They didn't know if they'd have money to get another meal. His sneakers had major holes in them, and there was no hope of buying another pair of sneakers or shoes. So for him to be able to earn a living was of paramount importance. So my father did convince me that I should at least go to medical school. And that's why I decided that in addition to that, to stay true to my interests in pure science, I would also do a doctorate in biophysics. After doing my MD-PhD program at Penn, I went to Harvard to train in internal medicine. Now, my father had 50% interest in this generic drug company that had been around for about 30 years at that point. The company had some better years and some not so good years. But he called me when I was in Boston during my internship, and he said, "Rich, if you want to try your hand in business, you better do it now because we're not going to be around much longer." Mm. So I had to think about this, and I thought, if I'm going to do the last 2 years of the residency, I'm going to do that because I'm going to practice medicine. I'm not going to do a full residency, which was really there have been laws now against what they put us through, but at the time, it was really brutal. I would work literally 110 hours a week. Sometimes I was awake. One time I was awake for 40 hours straight, 4-0, 40 hours straight.
Wow.
Yes, I had the worst night of the year at that hospital called the Brigham and Women's Hospital of Harvard Medical School. So if I'm going to I'm not going to put myself through that if I'm going to go end up doing business. So I decided to take a year off from internal medicine to go try out the business, then make my decision. As a matter of fact, I have a letter from Harvard, the head of the house staff training program at the Brigham, stating that they're sorry to see me go and they'll take me back anytime I want to come back.
So I actually have that letter framed. But
so I decided to leave my medical and scientific career for a year, and I went to try out the business. And then that's how I got started. Now, my father's brother was 50-50 partners with my father, and he was 13 years younger than my father. So my father was really functionally retired at that time. So the company I joined, my uncle was the president. He had two of his children, had been working in the company for years. They had about $30 million a year in sales, 120 employees, and they were on the verge of workout with the bank, meaning where the bank would just basically sell off the assets and close the company because of how much money was owed and how much money they were losing. So that's how I got my start in business.
Hmm. So you decided, okay, you're going to leave Harvard. You're coming. You're joining. It sounds like the business was on the verge of bankruptcy. And you decided, you know, undaunted, you jumped right in. Perhaps you could, you know, take us to that scenario, to that point
okay.
in history.
So when I joined the business, I came in as the director of research and development. Now, I did not know anything about business. And what I mean by that is I didn't quite know what an invoice was. Remember, this is before the internet. And I knew sometimes if I'd order something by mail order, I remember maybe I'd get a bill. And what was it? Maybe that was called an invoice, but I wasn't quite sure. Forget the difference between profit versus cash flow. I never heard of such concepts. So I joined the business as the director of research and development. But because my last name was Roberts, because I was a family member, I could sort of go around and go wherever I wanted and sort of do whatever I wanted, which is just the nature of most mom and pop companies. And what I saw was in my uncle's office, there would be these emergency meetings, and a bunch of members of the companies, members of management would come, would go running in there, and everybody would be frantic. The door would shut for hours. And at the end of the meeting, everyone would just scamper out like a fire drill. And the rest of us in the company, which is the majority of the people, like didn't know what was going on in those meetings, what was happening, what was the issue, are we in trouble? They didn't know what was going on. In the meantime, I knew because I'm a family member that the bank had put a couple of their nasty managers, you know, in this relationship, and they were being really quite harsh with the family who owned this company, owed a lot of money, was losing money. So I said to my uncle, after a short while being there, I said, look, I don't know anything about business. Could I just sit in the back of one of these meetings so I can just try to see what goes on? You guys know business. I don't. Maybe I can at least learn that way. And he agreed. In the first meeting I sat in on, the issue was brought up that our major competitor was running a promotion in the northwest of the United States, in Washington State and Oregon. So what are we going to do about it? So someone says, we have to run our own promotion. Okay, how much? Well, they're giving 5% off. We'll get 5% off. Okay, great. Then someone says, but our promotions always fail. Someone else, why do they fail? My uncle will say, why do they fail? Because by the time we would get the promotional materials printed up and sent out, the promotional time period was already expired. So, well, what's the problem? The problem is our copy machine, the Xerox machine, kept breaking down. So then my uncle says, so then let's hire a secretary, and her full-time job will be only to manage the Xerox machine. Okay, great. Who's going to write the ad for the newspaper? And then they would just scurry out. No one had any assignments. There was nothing written as to who was going to be responsible to deliver what by when, and nothing got done. So I started to realize that I should just take action by myself. And so I started doing so. So one thing I did was I walked around the company, and there's something concept which I did not make up called MBWA, Management by Wandering Around. Wander around your company. It's really important. It's really, especially as companies get big, that's really important, because you're there, and when you get big, which we did later, once we had about $600 million a year in sales, 800 employees, including our contract sales force, $100 million spent in research and development each year, $120 million spent in sales and marketing. At our peak, we're manufacturing about 2.4 billion tablets and capsules a year. When you get big like that, it's very easy to end up getting stuck in your office, people at the highest levels coming in, giving you information which is filtered through their eyes, and you don't actually get to see or go out and confirm if it's true or get the feel for the workforce and in the employees in general and what they're thinking. So MBWA, Management by Wandering Around, is really, really important, especially as your company gets big and you no longer have that mom and pop hands-on micromanaging everything.
Wow. So Dr. Roberts, this is fascinating. And of course, I want to pick this up when we come back after the commercial break. I want to remind the listeners, you're tuned to 77 WABC, the Mind Your Business Show. My guest this evening is Dr. Rich Roberts. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Saul Friedman and Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client of Saul Friedman and Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Saul Friedman and Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
Kids, KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, go to cardsforkids.com. That's cards with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is Richard Roberts, MD, PhD, medical doctor, doctor of biophysics, and a former pharmaceutical industry CEO. And he's sharing real-world stuff. I think that's the best way to put it. Real-world stuff, talking about how he stepped into a pharmaceutical company, saw what was going on, and that's where we left off before the break. So, Dr. Roberts, I'm going to hand it back to you, where you're talking about wandering around the company, eyes and ears, and seeing what's going on.
That's right. So what I did was I went to the warehouse because, remember, we were mostly a distributor at that time. So we had a warehouse full of pharmaceuticals and, you know, bottled drugs that were in boxes, you know, back boxes of whatever, 12 or 24, whatever it would be. And a whole warehouse full of that, and orders were picked and they were shipped out. So I went to the warehouse and I saw in one of the corners, there was a big stack of boxes. And remember, being a medical doctor, by the way, I was very familiar with the names and of all the drugs, let alone their uses, their side effects, their chemical structures, how they act, mechanism of action in the body, whatever. So a big pile of boxes of drugs in a corner. And I asked one of the warehouse guys, I said, "What's that?" He said, "Oh, that's the stuff we're giving away." I said, and I'm thinking to myself, we're near bankruptcy. Why are we giving stuff away? So I said, but I said to him, I said, so why are we giving it away? He said, because it expired. So I said, how much is it worth? He said, he doesn't know. Well, what's in it? What's in that pile of boxes? He doesn't know. Well, I said, is there a list anywhere where it's written down? No, just when they see that something's expired, they put the box of drugs over there. And then someone comes and it's given away. So the next day, I put on my blue jeans, which, by the way, now that I'm, I was a newly Orthodox Jew at that point.
It's okay.
Now I don't even own a pair of blue jeans. But in those days, I put on my blue jeans and I went into the warehouse and I spent 2 days myself, unstacking all those boxes and writing down the name of the drug, chlorthalidone, doxycycline, whatever it would be, the strength, 25 milligram, 50 milligram, 100 milligram, how many tablets or capsules in a bottle, and how many bottles we had. Then after that, I went to the purchasing department, and I asked the purchasing department to tell me how much we pay for, you know, a 25 milligram, 100 count bottle of chlorthalidone. And I just did simple multiplication and addition, and it turned out we had over $80,000 worth of pharmaceuticals that were being thrown out, and nobody knew about it. Nobody knew it was being done, nobody was correcting anything. So there were a number of things I saw about this. For example, also, when it came to pricing, I then wanted to know about how we price our products. And it turned out that if we had 200 customers for a given product, we had 200 different prices. So I went to his secretary in sales and marketing, not to the vice president there, to his secretary. I said, how do we determine what price we give to people?
Right.
She said, well, if a customer calls on the phone and says they can get a lower price, we just match it.
So I said, well, do we know
if the matching price we're giving is below our cost? Oh, I don't know anything about that. We just give them the price. So then I start to look at our prices and go to purchasing and find out how much we pay for it. Or in that case, in those days, we were also manufacturing a small number of products ourselves, very small number at that point, and how much it costs for us to make it. And I found out we were selling many of our products at below our cost. It's like, duh, no wonder we're going to go out of business.
So after
about 3 months of this, I didn't know how business was done, but I strongly suspected, even after that first meeting regarding a sales campaign to underprice us, I suspected that this chaotic nature was not the way that things are done in business. So what I did was I had, after a short period of time, there were only a few people left in the company who had professional management experience, professional business experience. And they saw me as like the last hope in the family, in the Roberts family, to save this thing, because for a few reasons. But the point is they were chirping in my ear and they were telling me that I need to become the COO and I need to run things in order to get stuff organized. Now, I'd never heard of a COO or a CEO, and I didn't know the difference. So they taught me what a corporate structure is. I didn't know about a corporate structure, but they taught me what a corporate structure was. And they taught me about reporting, lines of reporting, direct lines and indirect lines of reporting. But I do have to say that I came in there, which I tell people say, like, what's the one key to business? First of all, there is no one key to success in business. To even ask the question is to not understand how complex business is and how complex being successful in life is. But I said, if the number one trait I see that makes people successful or sinks them is ego. You have to have, let's go back. When I went in there, I had no ego. I was a scientist. I was really guided by whatever's true, it's true, and that's what we go with. And ego has nothing to do with it. So something I've learned now in life is most people who don't know that they don't know. People just don't know that there's a whole world of information and knowledge and experience in success and failure. And they just don't even know that that whole world exists. And with the advancement of society over the last 50 years, and especially since, you know, the internet and the computer age, which is really only the last 20 years, that the amount of information and knowledge has exploded. But I knew that I didn't know anything about business and I wanted to learn. So these people are chirping in my ear. So after 3 months,
by the way, if I talk too much, just
no, you're good. You're good. This okay. is great.
Thank you. So after about 3 months, I started in September 1988. And in December 1988, I told my father and my uncle, I said, look, I need you to make me the COO of the corporation. I said, my uncle will still be the president. I will report to him, but he will not give any orders anywhere in the company. I will give all the directives. He wants something done. I will get it done. And without there's some hemming and hawing going on, but I told him that if you don't do this, I'm just going to tell Harvard I'm coming back because this place is going to collapse.
Right. So you mean it wasn't just a threat. It wasn't a threat. It was a matter of you saw what had to get done. And if you weren't in the pilot, if you weren't in the control seat, then you were wasting your time.
Yes. And I didn't know that I could get it done. But I knew that the chaotic way that this company was being run and the fact that it was in a nosedive and almost to the point where they couldn't pull out of the nosedive and it was going to crash, I knew that I was not going to be a part of this. So in December of 1998, they made me COO. So then what happened was I started having meetings several times a week, and I had all the heads of all the different departments in those meetings, plus some other people. It was about 15 of us in a conference room. Again, before the computer age, before, you know, computers were widely used, I should say, or nearly as powerful. Yes. And so I used a blackboard and I said, okay, we're going to list all the problems in the company. I just want to list all the problems top to bottom. Nothing's right. Nothing's wrong. So I'm going to start out with one. We have product expiring in the warehouse. I'll start product problem number two. Our promotions are sent out by mail after the promotional period is over. Problem number three. Tell me what the problems are. I said, problem number three. We have different prices for every customer, and many of our products are selling at below our cost. Okay. Problem number, now start throwing, telling me what are the problems. What's problem number four? And we started going through the problems, and you probably get to like problem number eight. Someone would say, "Yeah, well, you know something regarding getting our promotions out on time. I think we can." I said, "Stop talking." I said, "Stop talking right now. You're giving me," and they were shocked. No one spoke to them like this. I said, "You're giving me details or analysis or answers of problem number two. We're not doing that right now. We're listing the problems. Give me the let's list all the problems. We will come back to each one. We will dissect each problem one at a time, and we're going to stay on topic." Okay. We went on some more problems, and someone says, "You know what? I think what we can do on this one is," I said, "stop talking. You can't, we're listing only problems now." It's fine. So we had all the problems listed. After the meeting, it was filtered back to me that several people were very upset. They'd never been spoken to that way, and they're very upset, and they're threatening they might even leave. So I said, "You know what? It's a democracy. Everyone can vote. They can vote with their feet.
If they don't like it, they can leave."
Because I do understand when a patient is very, very sick, very ill, and nearing death, sometimes you have to do harsh treatments. I mean, look at surgery. Surgery, if you just look at it, not knowing what's going on, it's brutal. It's disgusting. You're cutting someone apart. But when someone needs surgery, you've got to do surgery. And you have to take risks. And it's harsh. But you do what you need to do to solve the problem. And that was the attitude that I had. And I had no ego involved in this. And anyone who had an ego that was blocking, they don't like the way they're being spoken to. Well, you know what? If you don't like the way you're being spoken to, then stick to the topic and don't destroy this company. And from there, so then we went back, and two or three times a week, we'd have these meetings. I would have written notes, and it took me a lot of time in written memo form, distributed to everyone with their name CC'd on it, so they would be held responsible. And then we started to go through one problem after another. And I'll give you details of sort of what happened, but what's happened 6 months later was, I started to do the meetings once a week or once every 2 weeks because we started to run out of problems, and our profitability, our losses decreased. We started to make a profit, and before you knew it, we almost had nothing to speak about because our problems were gone. But it took a methodical approach. Now, I'll give you some examples. So for in the warehouse, so we went back. Okay, now we're going to talk about there's product expiring in the warehouse. Why does this happen? Right. Then someone brought up FIFO, F-I-F-O, first in, first out. In other words, we were given, take a particular drug. We would receive shipments of it, let's say, every 2 weeks. Well, you need to be picking your orders from the stuff you receive first, because that's the oldest stuff. You don't want to be picking the orders from the stuff you just received yesterday. So what happens is on the shelves, you need to put the boxes of product on the back, as you receive them, the new receipts of product, new shipments, you put them on the back of the shelf and you pick the orders from the front of the shelf. And that way the oldest stuff is always getting picked first. And the newest stuff is what's sitting on the shelf. So nothing it goes past expiration date. Because remember, when you're talking about pharmaceuticals, they have expiration dates of 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. And also, when you're distributing a product and you're getting it from the manufacturer, you better control how much expiration date that manufacturer is giving you. Because maybe the manufacturer, who always has a minimum in almost every case, like literally 99.99% of the cases, always has at least 2 years of expiration dating when they manufacture the product. They might send you stuff.
If I may just jump in for a second, this is such practical guidance, because so many companies are frequently, again, most companies obviously are being successful because they are following proper guidelines. But if they're not, or if they're like FIFO, what you just elaborated on, such a critical, sounds like something so simple, but so many people, if they're violating that, they're just not able to be successful. My guest this evening is none other than Dr. Rich Roberts. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today, or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
Every accounting firm has a history. The history of Sol, Friedman & Company spans 45 years of commitment, dependability, and reliability for our clients. A client at Sol, Friedman & Company is never alone in making critical business decisions. Behind each business move stands the full resources of an accounting firm with the financial know-how to inspire confidence and ensure success. Call 718-232-1111 now to find out how Sol, Friedman & Company can help you grow your business. There's a reason our tagline is accounting with accountability. That is what we believe in, and that is the ethic we follow. For a free consultation, call 718-232-1111. That's 718-232-1111. Or visit our website at snfco.com. That's snfco.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is none other than Richard Roberts, MD, PhD, medical doctor, doctor of biophysics, and former pharmaceutical industry CEO for nearly 25 years. And he is sharing from the, you know, perhaps we could say humble beginnings, because it really was that way. I mean, here he is, a kid out of Harvard, and that rose to the position of CEO of a pharmaceutical that became eventually a pharmaceutical giant. He is sharing real-world stuff. FIFO, we talked about right before the break, earlier in the show, MBWA. In case you're just tuning in, no worries. By Tuesday morning, this entire episode will be up at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. Before the break, Dr. Roberts was talking about FIFO. Dr. Roberts, such important advice. Please continue.
So without going into, I want to get to really some of the key takeaway points that people, I think, really need to know in this regard in business. What I did when I put things in writing is I held people responsible. I held them accountable. So on FIFO, after we worked, I'm not going to go back to talking about expiration dates. I'm going to say that in the outline that I published as a memo form to everyone in that meeting, it'd be in Roman it would be in outline form, Roman numeral one, you know, warehouse product expiring. I would then state in very short form what the problem is, and I'd state in very short form in writing what the solutions are, and then person responsible person accountable, and I'd give his name and his title, the director of operations, and. So number one, you have to have it in writing. Understand in business, and especially in many times throughout life, if it's not in writing, it does not exist. If you don't have it in writing, people will deny it. Yeah. They'll say they heard something different than what you said. But once you have it in writing, people really shape up and respond to it. Secondly, you must state who is accountable for it. Who is accountable to make sure it's done? And if you don't do that and you just scurry away, then you'll find that people just, many times, usually, people just don't get stuff done. Now, in holding someone accountable, people may be reluctant to do so because this can lead to you having interpersonal conflict with them. And for many people, interpersonal conflict causes anxiety, upset, feelings of vulnerability. But one of the keys is that people have to, if they have this issue, they have to realize being assertive, assertion does not equal aggression. You're not going out to hurt someone, but you're being assertive and saying the way it has to be. And the truth is, if it doesn't work out, you're going to take appropriate action after that. But that's just the nature of the contract you have with them, the social contract, the business contract.
Right.
But you must hold people accountable, must put it in writing. Something else I want to say about this.
Mm-hmm.
As the company grew and became larger and more complex, and we went into other fields, there were people in management who were good people. And they were dedicated to the company. They were hard workers and they had integrity.
Mm-hmm.
They were good people as human beings, but they weren't necessarily so great as in terms of their capabilities. And one of the mistakes I made a number of times was once the job outgrew them, something called the Peter Principle, that people keep getting promoted up and up the ladder and until they become incompetent. But the Peter Principle also works that if the company grows, someone might be competent in their position at a certain level, certain size of the company.
Right.
As the company grows, as it becomes more complex, as things become legally more complex, as when you're no longer just ordering something from a manufacturer, send me, 100 bottles of this, but you end up signing contracts to assure supply with penalties if they don't supply, and penalties if you don't accept. as things get more complex, the people who were good back then may not be up to the job. And what happened to me was, in several cases, I've learned a lot of things just through failures. What happened to me in several cases was these people made bad mistakes. Mm. I knew the job had grown too big for them, or too complex for them, or too advanced for them, and I didn't have the heart to bring someone in above them, who had more experience, who had been among many companies, who had been a proven performer at a much higher level. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up getting into trouble, getting into difficulty, taking losses because these people were not competent. They might not have been assertive enough. They were okay when it was a small mom and pop company, but when it gets to be a large company and in some ways becomes more treacherous, and there are people with greater capabilities, they're not up to snuff. And I made a mistake several times, and we took damage several times because I just wasn't able to do that. But on the other side, mm-hmm. and this is a big word of caution for people, don't assume that because someone comes from a large company that they're able to do the job of your size. Because what happens is, when companies get to be super big, like this, the biggest pharma companies, mm-hmm. biggest pharmaceutical companies, where their sales each year are $200 billion a year of sales, they get political. And you end up with a lot of political types rising to the top, mm-hmm. who don't necessarily have capability and certainly don't like to do a lot of work. What they do is they know all the buzzwords. I'm empowering the people underneath me to take ownership of their jobs. What that means is, if they do, people underneath them do good work, then this guy's going to take credit. And if the person then fails, this guy's going to blame them and fire them and take no responsibility himself.
So you need
to be very careful that when you get people from very large companies, that you make sure that they're actually going to get their hands dirty. Yeah. They're going to actually do the work. And they're not just a paper pushing politocrat, which you can come up against. One last thing I want to say is, I'm going to go back now to this management structure, the project management solutions memo I put out. In addition to listing the problem and listing details of the problem and details of the solution, holding someone accountable, in addition to all that, you need to have someone completely independent who's going to go in and spot check them now and then. Because let's say I put that director of operations in charge of making sure we have FIFO in the warehouse and that no product is expired anymore, and they're held accountable. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens if he starts to get expired product? Is he going to tell me? Is he going to tell me that he messed up? Or is that expired product going to just somehow make its way to the garbage, and no one's ever going to know about it?
Right, right.
So you need to have, I'm just using this warehouse as an example, but it has to be true in every aspect of the company. You need independent people who will go around now and then and spot check. If we have 2,000 different SKUs, meaning 2,000 different dosage, strength, bottle size. Mm-hmm. You need to have someone who'll go in every month and check 20 of them randomly and see what's on the shelves and make sure that it's organized in the shelf by a FIFO technique and not the other way around. And if you don't do that, what will happen is people will hide. Many times people will hide their mistakes, and then you're not going to be able to correct them.
Right, which we understand is understandable, not correct. I'm not condoning it, but it's understandable from their perspective because they don't want to get in trouble. Wow, such great advice. We still have a ton to cover. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, more with Dr. Roberts, a medical doctor, doctor of biophysics, and a former pharmaceutical industry CEO. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Came across a great commercial real estate opportunity and need money fast? At TBG Funding, we understand the challenge. Waiting months for a bank-issued loan can cost you your project. That's where we come in. Call TBG Funding today at 718-705-9300 to get the funding you need to get your project off the ground. That's 718-705-9300. With loans closed in 23 states and over $800 million in closed loans, TBG Funding can help you close any commercial real estate deal in as little as 3 days so that you can close deals quickly and efficiently. Visit tbgfunding.com to find out how we can help you capitalize on your next opportunity. That's tbgfunding.com.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis here on 77 WABC. My guest is none other than Dr. Rich Roberts, medical doctor, doctor of biophysics, and a former pharmaceutical industry CEO. Dr. Roberts, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business. I'll let you in the middle of a great point before the break. Perhaps you could pick it right up.
Okay, this is my last point before I'll be quiet and let you ask another question. You've been, by the way,
oh, please. It's
you've been a tremendous
info.
Host. I really appreciate you allowing me to sort of download this information.
Thank you.
Regarding finding problems and fixing them, there is a tremendous amount of opportunity, business opportunity, for people throughout our country, because in doing things, managing things well, there are many, many companies, many industries where there are companies that are just being run poorly. By the way, a lot of venture capitalists look for situations like this also, where they're being managed poorly, and you know, if you can buy this set of income properties that are being managed poorly, and you'll manage it well, you'll be able to add 2 or 3% of profitability that will drop directly to the bottom line. They're not purchasing well. They're not assuring that their inventory of their is being handled well. They're not, you know, all the things that go into managing whatever the industry is. So there's a tremendous opportunity for people, who are going to go in and find a company which is poorly managed, and they're going to fix these problems. But what I want to tell people, especially those who think that making money is just like you hit or you don't, has nothing to do with you. No, you have to work. This is all work. It's work and work and work. If you don't want to work and you just want to give a direction, you should go do this and then let it happen or not happen. That's not a key to success. But if you're going to work and work and work, you're going to fix the problems and you're going to hold people accountable and you're going to check on them. And by the way, I've only spoken about the early parts of my experience in the company, right, when I turned them around and brought them to profitability. I'm not even talking about then when we started to grow and started to have opportunities, mostly in research and development, but other areas. And I didn't speak about all the opportunities, but they also require massive amounts of work to keep everyone organized, everyone on track, people held accountable, bringing all the data back, analyzing it as a group with open minds, and making clear decisions, which, by the way, most decisions that one will make are going to be based upon partial information. So you have to always keep your eyes open and your egos down, that you can always change course as more information comes in and you weigh it. And if you find that you should be changing course, minorly adjusting or majorly changing, you need to be always open to doing that. So that's it.
Wow. So, Dr. Roberts, I'm going to ask you straight up now. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot. You shared such tremendous information. We only have around 4 minutes left. Perhaps, can I invite you back next week so we can go, like, this show is like kind of the first phase, perhaps like the vantage point of surviving, and then the next show would focus on thriving, scaling. Would that be okay?
Hey, Yitzhak, I know you. I know the type of person you are. I'll do anything for you, so it's not a problem.
So gracious. That is very gracious. Thank you. So we're going to do a quick wrap-up, but this is such great content. And I get a lot of feedback every single week, whether it's by meeting people on the street, unfortunately not as often these days because of the pandemic, emails, texts, WhatsApps, etc. And I know I'm going to get deluged this time because of the information that Dr. Roberts shared. We just want to go through some key pointers that were shared at the beginning of the show. One element that I loved was something Dr. Roberts, again, credit others for coming up with the acronym, but MBWA. Management by wandering around. What an important topic that is, because so many businesses, there is certain things going on. It's not that, Dr. Roberts, is it fair to say, it's not that it's necessarily intentional or someone doing something that's hanky-panky. It's just mismanagement. Is that a fair way of putting that?
Yes, absolutely. How are you going to manage if you don't know what's going on? And if you're stuck in your office and you're only hearing, in my case, from my vice presidents, eventually executive vice presidents, senior vice presidents, then how am I going to know what they're not telling me or what they're missing? Yeah. You have to wander around and gather information.
Yeah. And like you said, many times, perhaps in all cases, just about 99% of cases, when you're getting information, it is partial. We're human. And there's some type of, partiality, if you will, that's going on. And therefore, if you're getting information from one person, what's behind it? What's the ulterior motive? Who are they trying to protect, et cetera? And that's why MBWA is a critical concept. Also, perhaps you could share the FIFO concept, just to touch on that, because it's not only a pharmaceutical. I mean, it applies to a grocery store, right? Milk.
Right, absolutely. It's a fundamental in warehouse management. Now, if you get very sophisticated these days now, and you have barcodes on everything, right. and you can be scanning them as you're receiving them, and you're scanning them if you're to take a grocery store at the cash register, your computer program should spit out a warning that this customer just checked out with milk that is not the oldest that we received. It's the newest received. We have a FIFO problem.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I imagine the cutting edge businesses are on top of technology like that. And we covered so many other areas regarding problem solving. I mean, next week we're certainly, and again, if anyone missed it, Dr. Roberts is going to be quite gracious, because time is. Time is money, and time is scarce. We know that's the probably the most prized possession, possession that we all have. And Dr. Roberts is going to give us another hour for next week's show, where we're going to focus on additional points regarding management, sales and marketing, and so many other. It's certainly corporate culture we're going to talk about, even though we discussed many other topics in tonight's show. So in case you just tuned in, no worries. By Tuesday morning, this episode will be up at MYBRadio.com, MYBRadio.com. And next week, Dr. Rich Roberts is going to join us again. So that wraps up a great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
Kids, 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, go to cardsforkids.com. That's cards with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877 cards for kids. KARS cards for kids. 1-877 cards for kids. Donate your card today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.